Support for Tested comes from Duke Health, reminding listeners that COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, and can protect individuals and others from the virus. Together, communities can end this pandemic. Find sites for a free vaccine at dukehealth.org.
This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how we're responding to the day's challenges in North Carolina and the South. I'm Will Michaels. It was 1 year ago that sheriff's deputies in Pasquotank County shot and killed Andrew Brown Jr. The deputies were trying to serve arrest warrants on drug charges. They repeatedly fired into Brown's car as he tried to steer it away from his home in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. The shooting prompted nightly protests, first when I was there days later.
That was your brother. That was my brother. That was somebody's father. Say his name.
Andrew Brown!
And after the local district attorney, Andrew Womble, said the shooting was justified.
If he was going to attempt to flee, he had no choice but to drive directly at the officers. When he did that, and he made that decision on his own, he placed their lives in danger.
Over the next two episodes of Tested, we will take you down Highway 17 to where Elizabeth City stands 1 year later. We will examine what's changed and what hasn't, how an upcoming election could shift the local balance of power, and ask the questions that still remain about how Andrew Brown was killed. First, WUNC's Jason DeBruin recently went back to Elizabeth City, and here's what he heard.
Elizabeth City feels like many other small towns across North Carolina. The main residential areas are split by one road, Erringhouse Street. To the north are historic homes with neatly kept lawns and flower beds. Here's where many of the city's political and social leadership live. To the south, other houses show signs of needing repair, and roads are pocked with more potholes. Here's where Andrew Brown Jr. lived. Along the waterfront, the historic downtown has bars and restaurants. A new brewery is the talk of the scene. There's a billboard along Erringhouse with a picture of Brown. In the year since Brown was killed, protests have largely died down, and media have pointed their cameras in other directions. In their place, two distinct factions have risen up, both demanding change in the community, but disagreeing widely on what that change looks like. Some residents, backed by the Pasquotank County NAACP, want to see more accountability for law enforcement. It sees a power structure aching to return to how things were before April 21st, 2021. But it can't go back. To these residents, going back means being treated as lesser, not getting the same opportunities that go to an increasingly white population. And for Keith Rivers, it means not being equal. Rivers is head of the Pasquotank County NAACP and spent 21 years in the United States Navy, and whose brother is running for Elizabeth City mayor.
You serve your country, and then you have to come back to a community that we're born and raised in to continue to watch these atrocities, and that's what they are. There's no other way to sugarcoat it.
Rivers then referenced a famous Malcolm X quote.
And now in the aftermath of Andrew, you want to stick a 10-inch knife in my back and pull it out 6 inches and say it's progress. It's not progress. We cannot go back to the way it was before Andrew Brown Jr.'s murder. And that is the struggle within this community. There are people that want to keep it the same because of the positions of power. They don't want change.
But while Rivers and others want more accountability for the deputies who killed Brown, some in Elizabeth City deeply disagree. Christina Williams founded Pasquotank PAC, which promotes Republican and unaffiliated conservatives in northeastern North Carolina. She was appalled at the protests that attacked Sheriff Wooten and disrupted downtown businesses.
It was a very controversial decision, but one of the early decisions that I made after the Andrew Brown shooting was to put out his arrest record, just to show people that this was not an innocent person that was just minding his own business, walking down the street one day. This was a person who had 188 criminal felony records. He had sons that also had many, many felony records.
Williams says there hasn't been enough support for law enforcement. She wants to see the city and county work together to establish what she calls law and order, and to rally behind Sheriff Tommy Wooten, who she says has been maligned by, quote, woke politics.
And he had an arrest warrant for his arrest, and at the time of his arrest, he tried to flee and tried to run over the deputies, and they had to do what they had to do. And it was just a horribly unfortunate situation, but I needed to make sure that everybody understood that this was not an innocent person who was just going about his merry way. This was a criminal that was in the process of being apprehended, that was putting law enforcement officers at risk, and that was why we made the decision to go ahead and move forward with putting the pack together and obviously getting as many candidates as we could to run for office to try to change sort of the situation here in the city.
One thing is for certain, Brown's death has sparked an awakening in Pasquotank County. More people are paying attention to local politics and power structures than ever before. And this year, they will get their first opportunity since Brown's death to cast ballots, both for city and county government, as well as for sheriff, district attorney, and superior court judge, positions that all hold significant power over residents in the county and the region.
This is soul-catching news, y'all. I want y'all to make sure that y'all share any live coverages that we bring to you today.
Deshaun Morris admits he wasn't the most engaged Elizabeth City resident before last year, but seeing a black man shot by law enforcement jolted him to action. He and his wife founded Soul Catching News 7, a Facebook page that focuses largely on local developments around law enforcement. It has more than 8,600 followers.
It's work. It's work, man. It's worth it. Andrew Brown was killed here, man. He was murdered here. And I grew up with Andrew. Of course, our adulthood led us apart or whatnot, but I watched a man due process get taken away from him, you know, so to speak, and then his life. And then on top of that, you're just looking at the way that he's being treated now, his family's being treated here now. It just isn't right.
Morris says he always felt a certain level of racism, but while participating in the protests, he saw it firsthand.
My people didn't raise us to be savages and animals and things, man. We was out here being called monkeys and bowling pins and speed bumps, man, while we was out here peacefully protesting, man. And that was, it was eye-opening, man. You never would have thought it, man. You put yourself in those situations and you go with it. I put myself in the situation of Andrew Brown, man. I realized that that could have easily been me. A nonviolent warrant being served somehow turned violent, and he wasn't the aggressor, but somehow he ends up dead. I mean, it's something everybody should wrap their arms around.
Morris says he's committed to keeping Soul Catching News 7 running to try to bring the news from the perspective of a black man.
It's the city, man. They're trying to make a balance of the city is why we created the news outlet, right? Just to give everybody a sense of what it could be if you knew the whole story.
Reporters and editors in Elizabeth City's main newspaper, The Daily Advance, have taken note of Morris's work. They say he's helping to bring attention to local news.
They killed an unarmed black man in this town.
His name was Andrew Brown.
others try to keep attention on Sheriff Wooten through daily protests. Angie Young says she has stood on one of the main downtown intersections for more than 350 consecutive days, holding signs that call for justice. She gets honks of support mixed with those who flash her the middle finger as they drive by. She says she hopes to keep public attention on what she calls an injustice.
And unfortunately, things happen all over the world, but when it actually happens in your own backyard, pretty much, and you don't do anything about it, then something's wrong with you. It's not just wrong with the world, it's also wrong with you, because you're not standing for what you know is right.
You can't lie, you covered up that homicide, they lied!
However, more attention does not mean unanimous support for the protests. John Nettesheim is the pastor of Elizabeth City Baptist Church. His first foray into politics was a few years ago when he focused largely on supporting gun rights. Seeing protests last year, especially that blocked roads, bothered him.
If you live in Elizabeth City, that shooting affected you. You couldn't drive anywhere through the city without seeing signs of it. And what really bothered us was the lack of support for our sheriff.
His church held a rally to support Sheriff Wooten, and the pastor is helping Williams in her campaign for mayor.
The conservative people in this county that do support law enforcement and that do support conservative values and principles, they are going to be more awake now than ever because they've seen what can happen to our little city. I mean, we're not a big city, we're not famous, but we were put on the national stage because of this.
Next time on Tested.
Progression in North Carolina when it comes to accountability and transparency and just erasing racial inequities, it is a slow process.
How have the local governments in Elizabeth City and Pasquotank County responded to Andrew Brown's death? Why haven't the courts ruled on civil lawsuits in the case? And how could next month's elections change the balance of power in Elizabeth City? Stay tuned for the second part of this series later this week. I'm Will Michaels.